My name is Britt Wallen. I'm from IBIS Reproductive Health, and I'm presenting in the place of Amanda Dennis on strategies to ensure that Medicaid covers abortion care in qualifying cases. And I have no disclosures. Since 1976, the Hyde Amendment has prohibited federal Medicaid funding for abortions, except in the cases of rape or incest, or when the pregnancy endangers the woman's life. States have the option to use their own state funds to cover abortion in a broader range of circumstances, though as you can see from this map, there are few that do. IBIS Reproductive Health has been doing work related to the Hyde Amendment since 2007, and the aims of this work have been to investigate the impact of Medicaid restrictions on abortion coverage, on low-income women and abortion providers, and also to identify evidence-based practices to respond to challenges women and providers face in accessing Medicaid coverage for abortion care. So we've done three separate studies over this time period, and I'll describe the methods for each of those studies briefly. So for the first study, we conducted it actually over several phases from 2007 to 2010, and we conducted 66 semi-structured in-depth interviews with abortion providers recruited from 17 states. In these interviews, we asked providers about their experiences securing Medicaid funding for abortion in cases of rape, incest, and life endangerment. And next, in 2010, we conducted a secret shopper or mystery caller survey of Medicaid offices in 17 states. So we called select Medicaid offices in each state, and sometimes it was a state office, sometimes it was a county office, depending on how states structured their Medicaid programs. And the first call, we would ask if a Medicaid enrollee could secure abortion coverage in the case of rape. And then 1 to 2 weeks later, we would make a second call, and we would ask if a Medicaid enrollee could secure funding, ask about life endangerment and whether Medicaid enrollees could get coverage in that situation. For the final study, which was conducted in 2010 and 2011, we conducted 71 in-depth interviews with low-income women, asking them about their experiences paying for their abortions, and also their knowledge and opinions about Medicaid laws and regarding abortion. We recruited women from Arizona, Florida, New York, and Oregon, and we selected these states because based on the states where we had previously done research, these states represented the best case and the worst case scenarios. So with Arizona and Florida being the worst, and New York and Oregon being the best. We thought it would be important to look at these extremes to find out what Medicaid practices are working for women and what challenges remain. So for data analysis, mostly it was qualitative data, and we transcribed all of the interviews verbatim and then conducted a thematic analysis of data using Atlas TI. And for the quantitative data and responses to the close-ended questions, we input responses into a database and then performed basic calculations in Excel. So our first major overall finding is that women and providers face challenges using Medicaid for abortion coverage. Our research shows that most women who should qualify for Medicaid coverage of their abortion are unable to use their Medicaid because of three key challenges. First, some uninsured women actually have difficulty enrolling in Medicaid, period, and that's due to confusing eligibility requirements, complex and time-consuming enrollment procedures, difficulties gathering enrollment documents like birth certificates, and then also unanticipated and burdensome expenses associated with their Medicaid application. And this might include just cost to make phone calls or cost of having to fax something to Medicaid. Then, even when women are insured with Medicaid, they face barriers securing coverage for their abortion. And this is due to trouble obtaining clear information about Medicaid coverage of abortion, fear of disclosing to Medicaid their plans to have an abortion, the lack of abortion coverage under some Medicaid managed care organizations or MCOs, and challenges finding a convenient abortion provider that accepts their Medicaid plan. Women also have problems establishing that an abortion qualifies for coverage, especially in cases of rape, incest, and life endangerment. And finally, it can be difficult for abortion providers to offer Medicaid clients abortion care because of problems they experience securing and maintaining contracts with Medicaid, non-existent or just poor relationships they have with Medicaid staff, undue administrative burdens when filing billing claims, and frequent and unclear rejections of qualifying claims. Providers also have reported low reimbursement rates for the care they provide. And together, these challenges force women to come up with money they don't have to pay for their abortion out of pocket. And this can cause women to delay getting their care while they put together the financial resources they need. Or women may be forced to continue unwanted pregnancies. And this is a quote from a woman in Florida who said, "I didn't have any health insurance. You actually have to go to a special women's clinic. The women's clinic will only see you at certain times one day a week. At the time, the job I was working conflicted with it. I knew I was pregnant for probably 2 months before I was even able to go in so I could do Medicaid paperwork." So several of the women we talked to described just trying to go on Medicaid, and that in itself can be a challenge and can significantly delay the abortion. And here we have a quote from a politically active abortion provider who had been working at her clinic for well over 15 years, and she had been trying to get Medicaid to cover abortions and other reproductive health services over that time. And she said, "We have never been reimbursed by Medicaid for an abortion. We have trouble with gynecology getting reimbursed appropriately, and a number of times we have to turn things back in. The average is 3 times we have to do the paperwork before it's all accepted. And for abortion, we may try 7 different things, and then we give up because it's just not worth the staff time anymore. It's just, at some point, how damaged is your head from that brick wall?" And here our second overall finding is that the challenges with Medicaid result in extreme gaps between law and practice. So in 2 study states, Oregon and New York, the law is consistent with practice. And so here we saw that 97% of abortions that should qualify under the Hyde Amendment exceptions were reimbursed. However, in the remaining study states, there are significant gaps between law and practice. And here we found that only 36% of Hyde qualifying cases were reimbursed. And I should also point out here that among these 36%, 86% of those abortions that were covered were in one state. But despite these challenges, change can be made. While our findings point to the failings of the Medicaid system, we also found that women and abortion providers have developed systems to overcome the barriers to working with Medicaid, and that Medicaid, when it works, can be a reliable and important source of coverage for abortion care. So we at IVIS put together the strategies that we had identified into a set of take action guides. And there are 3 of them currently targeting abortion providers, advocates, and women. And the guides outline a set of strategies and actions that can be taken to improve Medicaid coverage of abortion in 3 kind of major areas. First, reducing the barriers to Medicaid enrollment. Second, reducing barriers to women's using Medicaid for abortion coverage. And third, reducing the provider's service delivery challenges. So in the next slides, I'll provide an overview of some of these actions that we recommend that we found can ultimately lead to improvements in access to abortion. So in terms of just making it easier to enroll in Medicaid, we found a number of actions. One is developing and distributing educational materials about Medicaid enrollment and policies on abortion to help inform women about the availability of coverage and how they can obtain it. Another action is to revise and pare down the complicated and eligibility and enrollment forms in order to make the enrollment process easier. Another thing that can make the enrollment process easier is creating multiple points of entry for women to enroll in Medicaid in terms of, you know, different types of facilities or clinics or places in the community where it can happen, and being able to do it through different means. And then next, where enrollment is not simplified, it's very helpful if abortion providers can offer support to women and encourage them to enroll in an MCO that covers abortion care. And then finally, policy solutions, such as presumptive eligibility and rapid enrollment for pregnant women, can ease some of these enrollment challenges. So this is a quote from a woman in Oregon who should have been able to use Medicaid for her abortion, but she had a lot of trouble enrolling in the program, which highlights the need to resolve some of these enrollment issues. And she said, "I think they, Medicaid, need to make it not be such an ordeal to get it. It's just the waiting time to figure stuff out, see if you're even eligible." So the next set of actions focus on helping women, once they are enrolled in Medicaid, get coverage for their abortion through Medicaid. So we found that interventions to educate women, clinic staff, and Medicaid about Medicaid itself, the staff there, about Medicaid coverage of abortion can improve women's experience using Medicaid for their abortion care. And examples of these interventions might include writing a letter to Medicaid about insurers' obligations to cover, to offer coverage in the circumstances outlined in state and federal policies. And another example would be holding trainings on Medicaid for clinic staff so that they can be better informed about coverage and how to go about getting it. Furthermore, supporting women in acting as their own advocates, as well as working with Medicaid to simplify the complicated forms that women and providers fill out to verify the circumstances of an abortion, can help women access Medicaid coverage of abortion. Though I should point out that some providers had mixed feelings about having to ask women to serve as their own advocates. And then we identified a number of policy solutions, and one is the use of county funds for abortion coverage, which could expand public funding and coverage of abortion for low-income women. So here's a quote from a provider who talked about how important it is to have women involved and acting as their own advocates when they run into challenges. And this person said, "We would say to women experiencing coverage challenges, call your insurance company. You are the consumer and you need to advocate for yourself, and ask your insurance company why they're not covering this." No, what's happening? Sorry. And then the final set of actions have to do with reducing the service delivery challenges so that more providers can offer coverage for Medicaid enrollees. So it was that abortion providers are the ones who've developed strategies that they have implemented in their individual practices that improved their experiences working with Medicaid. Many talked about the importance of educating themselves and their staff, particularly about what it means to sign Medicaid forms indicating that a physician certifies that a woman is seeking an abortion due to rape, incest, or life endangerment. And to that end, providers said that it was helpful for them to seek legal counsel so that they knew their rights and responsibilities if they did sign these forms. Also, the use of electronic billing systems we found led to streamlined, consistent, efficient, and relatively simple claims procedures. And these electronic billing systems also improved abortion providers' experiences working with Medicaid and their ability to secure reimbursement in qualifying cases. Other strategies that providers found helpful included developing and maintaining relationships with Medicaid staff, and also building savvy billing departments that are focused specifically on billing issues. So hiring staff who spend their time working on billing and who have training to do that and are savvy about how they go about dealing with billing and filing claims for reimbursement. Some providers reported working with Medicaid to improve the reimbursement rate for abortion care. Also, policy solutions such as participating in legal and advocacy actions that aim to ensure that Medicaid pays qualifying claims at appropriate reimbursement levels is another strategy to consider. So this quote comes from a provider who was involved in a collaborative effort of advocates, abortion providers, and legal experts who came together to implement an effective statewide program of activities that included simplifying Medicaid claims forms and creating educational materials that explain when Medicaid should cover abortion care. And this person said, after having been involved in this effort, we've gotten better at saying to Medicaid, no, you have to approve this, and yes, you have to pay us, and no, it's not for you to question because the law doesn't say you have to question it. So we have disseminated our research and our recommended strategies and actions through a variety of means. We've published several papers. We've disseminated the Take Action Guides widely to those working both at the national and the state level. We started a Twitter campaign that uses the hashtag #ProtectAbortion, and we've used this to promote the Take Action Guides, but also to encourage others to share how they are working to expand access to abortion and protecting abortion access. And we invite you all to join this campaign. And also, we have been done some work related to healthcare reform, and specifically looking at how insurance coverage of contraception and abortion are impacted under reform. So, in conclusion, given the number of difficulties that abortion providers face in working with Medicaid, we were surprised to find that some providers have identified a range of strategies to improve women's access to Medicaid generally and to Medicaid coverage of abortion specifically. Though we found that successful models of working with Medicaid were rare and often hard won, these models demonstrate that the public funding system can be made to meet women's abortion care needs in a way that does not overburden abortion providers. Strategies employed by abortion providers and advocates show that while we work to repeal federal and state level restrictions on abortion coverage over the long term, we can simultaneously take action to remove incrementally some of the obstacles that women and providers currently face working with Medicaid. At the same time, we realize that there is no magic bullet that will work in every context, and we believe that folks on the ground will need to look at the menu of actions outlined in the Take Action Guides and assess which will work best in their own political context. So I want to acknowledge the people who participated in this research, staff at IBIS Reproductive Health, and our funders. Thank you.